Hiranyam Rajatam Shayam Vasam Sajita Kambalam Yanam Ratan Ibanhanya Daram Vritti Karimapi Hiranyam Gold Rajatam Gold Coins Shayam Bedding Vasamsi Clothing Ajina Animal skin for seats. Kambalan, blankets. Yanam, horses. Ratan, chariots. Ivan, elephants. Kanya, girls. Dharam, land. Vrittikarim, to provide livelihood. Api, also. Translation. The Brahmins were not only given well-fed cows in charity, but also gold, gold coins, bedding, clothing, animal skin, seats, blankets, horses, elephants, girls, and sufficient land for maintenance. Please repeat. The Brahmins were not only given well-fed cows in charity, but also gold, gold coins,
bedding, clothing,
animal skin seats,
blankets, horses,
elephants, girls, and sufficient land for maintenance. All these charities were meant for the Brahmins, whose lives were devoted entirely to the welfare of society, both spiritually and materially. The Brahmins were not giving their services as paid servants, but the society provided them with all necessities. It was arranged for some of the Brahmins who were in difficulty for marriage to be given girls. The Brahmins, therefore, had no economic problems. The Kshatriya kings and rich mercantile men would provide them with all that they needed, and in exchange, the Brahmins were completely devoted to the elevation of society. That was the way of social cooperation between the different castes. When the Brahmin class or caste gradually became easygoing, being fed by the society, although they had no woman for qualification, they degraded themselves into Brahma Bandhus, or disqualified Brahmins, and thus other members of society also gradually fell down from the social standard of progressive life. As described in Bhagavad Gita, the caste system is the creation of the Lord and is arranged according to the quality of work rendered to society and not in terms of birthright, as falsely claimed in the present degraded society. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhutananda Shri Rvet Girarhar Shivaya Shari Gauru Bhakti Vridna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Hiranyam Rajatam Shrayam Vasam Sajina Kambalan Yanam Ratan Avyan Kanya Antaran Avritti Karimapi. Srila Prabhupada, he was talking about the degradation of the caste system and speaking about the Varnas, not of the ashramas. Krishna says, Chatur Varyam Maya Shishtam. This is my Shristi, this is my arrangement. And of course, there is also the four ashramas. So in that we have Brahmins, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. The divisions of society so that guna karma, according to their nature, people were situated appropriately. And nature is something that is generally visible even in childhood, but certainly becomes determined by youth. Just like in our present society, education is general for children, and then when they hit a certain age, then you have to specialize, so by then someone should really know what they should be doing. But Vedic system is not necessarily what it is that they want to do or what generally their parents oblige them to do, but what actually their nature is. And if they are properly trained in youth, then their nature is what they will want to do. The two things will coincide. And the motivation is not money or economic development, because the development of society is not solely based on economic development, but rather it's based upon the principle of samshiri haritoshanam. How is it that we're pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Varnashram avacharita. This is the purpose of the Varnashram system. The Brahmins, but not only the Brahmins, the Brahmacharis, and Vanaprastas and Sannyasis. So Srila Prabhupada points out that this was in a lecture. He said that society is divided into these. So Prabhupada gives a hypothetical division. He says that, say, 25% of each of the four divisions makes up the, in terms of population, numerical division of society. He says then the Grihasthas, 25%, it is their duty to maintain the Brahmacharis, Vanaprastras, and Sannyasis. And, of course, there's a further division, because not all Grihasthas are then working here. There's also the Brahminical class. So it's a quite interesting economic structure, that you have a minority who maintain a majority. And the maintenance is done not through wages or salary, but it's done through donation, so it's voluntary. But you can see here all these things that they're giving away: gold coins, bedding, clothing, animal skin, seats, blankets, so many things. So it's not that they're giving some meager amount, but there's the understanding that the more you give, the more you get. Of course, you have to have faith in that understanding, that it works like that. The more that you give, then the more that you get. As we were talking yesterday, evam pravartitam chakram nanvartahati haya. This is the system. And then the system is that you just hoard and keep to yourself. Then, as was the case during Prithu Maharaj's time, then the earth planet and material nature just restricts until there's less and less and less. So ultimately there's only a few people who have wealth and everyone else lives in poverty. Why? Because it's not the structure, it's not the natural way of things. In English they have that saying, you can't have you can't have the egg without the chicken, so you have to feed the chicken in order to get an egg. You can't just want eggs and, well, I'll just skimp, and why should I bother? Or better example is a cow. Why should I feed a cow? It costs money to feed a cow. I'll just take the milk. But if you don't give them the, you don't feed them, then you won't get milk. So same thing. Society is designed, or at least Krishna's structure of society is such that one should be able to get the necessities of life relatively easy. But you have to give. Everyone has to give. So the Brahmin's business is that they're meant to give knowledge. And so Srila Prabhupada would give these three activities of Brahmins, or they each have two phases, dhana, dhana, yaja, yaja, and dhana, pratigraha. So that Brahmins study. You can't teach unless you study. And their business for studying is their spiritual elevation. The more that they study scripture, the more that they practice austerities, the more learned they become, the more they understand Brahma, Janati, Brahmana. That a Brahman's business is to understand what is the absolute truth, and ultimately Brahman means Krishna. He's the Supreme Brahman, Param Brahman. Param Brahman, Param Dhamma. But not only are they meant to just keep it to themselves, because then what good is that doing society? No, they're meant to educate. So education means that they teach, and they teach others, and that's how in every village there would be Gurukula or Gurukulas, depending on the size of the village. And the Brahmins would then teach the children whatever it was that they knew. So there are different types of Brahmins. They're known by their last name. For instance, even now you have Dvivedi or Trivedi or Chovedi. Chovedi means Chaturvedi. So Brahmins that are learned in one of the Vedas or some Anga of the Vedas, or Dvivedi means that they're learned in two Vedas. Trivedi means three Vedas. Chovedi means they know all the Vedas. And then there's so many other divisions. You can know the qualification of a Brahmin by his name. That's what the last name was meant for. So you know he's qualified in this. And the Brahmins would then teach. And what would they teach? They may teach many things, but ultimately everything was in the context of elevating society. So that society would always stay on track of this principle of samsiddhi haritoshana. Somehow or another, our lives have to be structured in a way that everything that we do, samsiddhi haritosh. Hari means Krishna, and toshana means to please. So by all means, we need to be pleasing Krishna. Samsiddhi haritoshana. They perform sacrifices. They perform sacrifices to purify themselves. Brahmins, whenever we read Srimad Bhagavatam, they get up, and then the first thing they do is they light the sacrificial fire. Or actually, the sacrificial fire is going, but they put... Usually they don't let sacrificial fires go out. They went down to the stage of embers, but the embers would continue to glow, so the next day they would just put the wood on, and it would continue like that. In Radharaman Temple, you know Vrindavan, if you've been to Vrindavan, in Radharaman Temple, they still cook with the same fire that Radharaman was installed with 500 years ago, 450 years ago. So that fire never goes out. They always keep that same fire going. Fire that was lit by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So they use that same fire for cooking. So they perform sacrifice because, as we're saying, yagya shishtantina shanto. So everyone has to perform sacrifice. But not just for themselves, then they perform sacrifice for others. So, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, they can't perform sacrifice. Or in other words, they can't themselves go through the activities of sacrifice, because sacrifices are the prerogative of Brahmins. Brahmins are the ones who are meant to conduct the sacrifice, the activities. But everyone has to perform sacrifice, yajna. So that means that they employ Brahmins to perform sacrifice for them. And of course, if sacrifices are well performed, then the demigods would appear in those sacrifices, and if the sacrifices were performed by Vaishnava Brahmins, then the Supreme Lord. So then people would see, just like in Prithu Maharaj's, and Lord Vishnu appeared, and we read in Bhagavatam how other kings had sacrifices performed, and even though they were very exalted, even either whether it was the Pandavas or others, they never performed sacrifice on their own, but rather they engaged Brahmins to do that. Dhyana Pratigraha. And then they beg, and they also distribute charity. They collect charity and distribute charity. And here Srila Prabhupada points out, he uses the word that the Brahmins became easygoing. Srila Prabhupada says that often Brahmins would keep themselves in a state of poverty. They may receive great amounts of wealth, but they would immediately distribute it. They wouldn't keep it. Why? Because especially in this age, wherever there's wealth, there's Kali. So he'll contaminate you, pollute your mind. If you collect money, if you collect wealth, then one can very easily become contaminated. So this is what is taking place in Kali Yuga, is that the Brahmins didn't just pass on what it was that they collected, but they kept it, they hoarded it, and they started to become very, very wealthy, very opulent. So you see different things in India. You see rickshawwalas, you get on a rickshaw, and he pulls out his Brahmin thread and says, "I'm a Brahmin." What are you doing driving a rickshaw if you're a Brahmin? Or you see other very wealthy people who will then say, "Oh yes, I'm also in a Brahmin family." And then the risk then becomes is that one hoards, you don't keep wealth for no reason, then you end up being an enjoyer. And if you end up being an enjoyer, then that runs counter the principle of spiritual life, because spiritual life means austerity, simplicity, rather than sense gratification and enjoyment. So he said, because they became easygoing, they became Brahmabandhus. Then they no longer studied, and they no longer performed sacrifice, or when they performed sacrifice, just to collect more money. And in this way, Brahminical culture went, and then when Brahminical culture went down, then obviously the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, they're no longer inclined to give in charity. Why should I give him in charity? All he's doing is just enjoying life. So they stop giving, and when they stop giving, so then the whole chakra, the whole system breaks down. And either the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and so on, neither can they prosper, because Shudras, they're not meant to give. They may, maybe they give, but generally they don't possess anything. They're only given in kind. They're not paid, they don't get it, they're just maintained. And so the degradation of what is now has a very bad name, this caste system, because in India it's really exploited. India is a land of extremes. Prabhupada says, when Indians are good, they're very, very good. And when they're bad, they're very, very bad. So they go in all ways. And so Brahmabandhu, just like Chatrabandhu, this name is used, it's sort of a derogatory term, someone like Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama is referred to in Bhagavatam as a Brahmabandhu. Why? Because he really abandoned the practice of a Brahmana. He would not stick by the real principles of truth. He took up the employment of a Kshatriya. Of course, his father did that as well. Dronacharya also did that. And And he was really the person who he performed possibly the most irreligious activity of all at the Kurukshetra, which was after the war, once the war was already over. So maybe you know that story, that the battle was over and Duryodhan was at this bottom of a lake, sort of trying to recover his energy or strength. And all the Kurus had perished. There was about 20,000 members of from the Pandava side left. And they were going around looking for, Pandavas were going around looking for Duryodhan, because Duryodhan was still the king. So either he dies or he accepts Yudhisthira's sovereignty. And they couldn't find him. But anyway, they went back to camp. And when they went back to camp, then anyway, it was over. The battle was over. And the Pandavas had won. If you can say that, everyone perished. It was just a minimal number of soldiers left. But still on the side of the Kauravas, there was Kripacharya and Ashwatthama and someone else was there. And they were also the ones who, not Ashwatthama, but Kripacharya was one who was the reason why they started this quarrel. Is that when they were there in Prabhas and they drank some little wine and they got a little intoxicated, then the Yadavas started to argue that it was because of you that this whole slaughter took place. And they were talking about Kripacharya. Kripacharya was still there. And then people started to take sides, and then they started to attack each other. That was by Krishna's arrangement. So Ashwatthama, he just couldn't, first he couldn't accept how Drishtadyumna had killed his father, and he couldn't digest a lot of things, but you know, he was thinking, how is it that we can just get some kind of vengeance? So at night when everyone was sleeping in the camp, and the Pandavas had left by Krishna's arrangement, they weren't in the camp. They're looking around for Duryodhan, and nightfall had come, so they just camped out in Kurukshetra, a huge, huge place. Even if you go now, different pastime places are like tens of kilometers apart on the Kurukshetra field. And so Ashwatthama, Kripacharya, and the other two, there's four of them all together, anyway, it's a long story, but I'll make it short. They camped out, and right outside the camp, they were sleeping. And Ashwatthama couldn't sleep, so they were under this tree, and there were crows in the tree at night. And all of a sudden, as he was sitting there, a owl attacked and started in the dark. And birds can't fly at night, so crows couldn't go anywhere. Owls do, they fly at night. Owls, bats. And so they started massacring, the crows started massacring all the crows. I mean, the owls started massacring all the crows, and the crows were just falling around Ashwatthama. And by that, he became inspired. We can do the same thing. They're all sleeping. They can't go anywhere. So we should just attack them while they're sleeping. Anyway, so he went in, they made a fire, so that everyone had to flee without their weapons and so on, and then they just slaughtered them while they didn't have any weapons or anything like that, as they were trying to escape, flee out through the gates. But he became particularly empowered. Ashwatthama became empowered by Lord Shiva to do that. It was also Krishna's desire. And that's how Draupadi's five sons were also beheaded, as described in the Bhagavatam. So then after that, Bhagavatam refers to him as Brahma Bandhu. This is not This is not the real business of a Brahmana. This big battle took place outside of Bhubaneswar, and that was just a war that Maharaj Ashok was fighting. And that was when he saw all this unnecessary slaughter and death. And that was when he became a Buddhist. But when he became a Buddhist, then all of India became a Buddhist for some period of time anyway. So government support, yes, when government support, then you can do so much, because government has all the wealth, and they tax, and they give a certain amount of their taxes, they give for the support of brahminical activities. But anyway, that is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, is to fulfill the purpose of the Brahmins, to educate people in spiritual values, to let them understand the very, very basics, which is really, really gone. People don't understand even the basics of life. They don't understand the simplest thing, that you're not this body, you're spirit soul. Yesterday I was looking at this little article on BBC, that's where I get my news from, and there was this article on the Chaiwalas of India. And they were talking, and there was just pictures of the people who make tea, because everyone in India is addicted to tea. And so they just had pictures of the different tea merchants, you know, the people you see all the time standing on the corners making tea. And there was this one of this man in Varanasi who had his right beside the Manikarnika Ghat. Manikarnika Ghat is where everyone in Varanasi gets cremated. And so here was the Chaiwala. And, you know, the caption was that he'd seen tens of thousands of cremations. And then the quote from him was that, "You get used to it. After all, it's just a body." And the way it was quoted by the newspaper writer was that, "Just see how cold-hearted the person is." He just thinks it's just the body. In other words, here's a Chaiwala, here's someone who's the only thing he can do in life is make tea. They're not very educated. But still he knows that it's only a body. The person's not being cremated, the person doesn't die. And here's this big educated newspaper writer from England. He can't even understand this very simple thing, that we're not this body. And so, yes, we try to educate. And even though we don't get much support, and even though 25% of society are not maintaining us, neither is the government giving that much support or recognition. But still, our duty is to do just that. And by that, therefore, would change the fate of society, which is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, to re-educate the world in what the purpose of human form of life is. Not about sense gratification. Everything doesn't end with this body. That there is a God, there is a creator, and the purpose of life is to go back to him. It's what in England they have a very nice phrase called thankless task. What's a thankless task? In other words, thankless task is when you work really hard to help somebody and they just kick you in return. So that's what you should expect in Krishna consciousness, at least for the time being. Maybe sometime in the future when they really recognize the value of what we're giving, then they'll stop kicking and they'll start giving. Not giving kicks, but giving proper support. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions or comments?
May I please ask, how can we balance, doing, for example, public preaching activities with reading Srila Prabhupada's books and studying them? Can we say that it's more important to go and preach outside than reading Srila Prabhupada books?
Than reading Prabhupada's books?
Or how can we see this?
I don't know, why is it? Is it more important to eat than to drink? Why does it have to be a conflict? Well, they're meant to be harmonized. We should read, and we should preach. We need to do both. It's either one or the other, or one's more important than the other is more important. They're all equally important. It's part of life. You can't really preach unless you study. But if you just study and you don't preach, then you won't realize what you're studying. Because Krishna will give that same type of inspiration from within. So both need to be there. And when Prabhupada was in Montreal, and we were sitting, it was close to Prabhupada was sitting here, I was sitting here, and I was trying to get Prabhupada to say that book distribution is the most important thing. So I said, Prabhupada, what's more important, book distribution, Harinam, or Prasadam distribution? And Prabhupada just sort of looked at me and immediately knew what it was all about. And he said, they're all important. I said, I know, Prabhupada, I know they're all important, but which one is the most important? And Prabhupada just repeated, he says, they're all important. And I said, but out of the three, which one is the most important? And Prabhupada said, they're all most important. You couldn't trick Prabhupada into that. Anything else?
When there are hierarchies, like in the Varnas, or also in the stages of advancement in devotional service, how do we not perceive as if inferior the from the hierarchy, and why does it feel wrong when you see it like this?
There is a hierarchy, which would mean that sort of different respect is also offered, different respect, not that there's no respect, but simultaneously, even though there's a hierarchy, there's also an equality. So it's like when you look at a car, you see the wheels, and the wheels are integral to making the car move. But aside from that, an engine has 15,000 moving parts, and you can't take any one of them out just because they're very small or they appear very insignificant, even though something's just a screw. You take out the screw, the wheels stop moving. So in Vedic culture, the training was that everybody's important, and everyone has an integral role to play. And if you remove them, the Brahmins maybe, because they're the ones who are giving spiritual guidance, they're the ones who are considered to be the head of society. Brahmano hi mukham masid. But at the same time, if the Vaishyas are not producing grains, then what good is your head? He's starving to death. He's not going to be able to teach you. So everyone's integral, everyone's important. So yes, we have a distinction, but simultaneously we have oneness as well. And if everything is based on respect, not discrimination, that if someone's good, that means someone else has to be bad. So that's why, for instance, our even vision of Krishna's different incarnations is that he's perfect, and more perfect, and most perfect. So it's rather gradations of perfection, provided that everyone is actually doing their duty properly. So Vaishyas are good, and the Kshatriyas are more good, and the Brahmins are even more good, but everybody's good, provided that they're doing their work and properly according to the proper system, and that they're participating in the overall social structure. Because that's how things work.
You were gonna... when Krishna descends, he comes with his transcendental body. Yeah?
He is his transcendental body. Okay.
My question is, what kind of body he left behind when he was Shakyamuni?
He left behind sort of a replica of his spiritual body. He left behind a material body.
His universal form. His universal form, the shadow that you spoke about.
Yeah, it wasn't as big, but it's... it has material ingredients. Ultimately, for Krishna, material or spiritual doesn't really matter. He can be just as spiritual being material as being spiritual. So, but yes, he left behind a material body, and that material body is what the Yadus then performed the fire, put on a funeral pyre and so on, and Krishna was then, and the Nabi Brahman, the part of the body that doesn't burn, in the belly button, that's what's inside of Jagannath in Puri. Got all the way from Dwarka to Puri. One of the things that's inside of Jagannath. But yes, Krishna, it doesn't matter. Prabhupada says that for in the fifth canto, then you read about Kamadev in one of the Varshas who has a material body. It's Krishna, but he appears in a material body. It's both his energies, whether it's spiritual or material. And it doesn't... For him, it doesn't affect his consciousness in any way. Now, we should end. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.